This podcast is an unscripted, unedited conversation about true crime. We take the cases very seriously, but I don't take myself seriously at all, and neither should you. Welcome to Wife of Crime.
So, Russ, anyone who knows you knows that you are a viral video fanatic. And this month, Netflix came out with a documentary about a kid who became a viral sensation and then fell from grace. But I decided to look deeper into this and tell you all the details Netflix left out. This is the case of Caleb McGillivray, aka Kai the Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wife of Crime, a true crime podcast where I tell my husband, Russ, true crime stories, and he reacts to them.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, Russ, a.k.a. Big Mold.
Big Mold.
You know, we had a decent amount of reviews talking about I grew on them again.
Yeah.
But unlike the bad mold, I don't kill you.
It's a theme. The mold thing is definitely a theme.
I don't know how it started. I think like people just didn't like me at first. And then I said, like, I grow on you like mold.
Yeah, because I think people started putting in their reviews, I didn't like Russ at first, but he really grew on me. And then one of the episodes you were like, yep, I grew on you like mold. I get in your lungs and all this weird shit.
I don't know if I went that ham.
You did. I got to find the episode because you definitely said that. So I'm Jess. A.K.A. Jess Goggins.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. You know why?
Because he's a nut.
Because I read the David Goggins book, and then I formed a push-up challenge, and a bunch of our listeners got involved. If you guys follow us on social media, you know that for the last 30 days, me and a group of listeners have been doing push-ups every single day. And it's on our Stay Fit, Stay Alive Instagram page. If you're interested in following, go to StayFit_StayAlive. And we complete the challenge tomorrow.
I didn't do it.
And I mean, by the time you hear this, it'll be done.
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it. But I did. Your girl did push-ups every single day for 30 days. And a bunch of people were with me. I'm inspiring the masses like David Goggins.
How many push-ups can you do now in a row?
In a row, I could probably suffer through maybe 15, doing 11 per set. So I started at 5 per set, and then every week we went up, and now I'm at 11 per set, and that is a struggle.
Well, you know, that's a good amount of push-ups. Not many people can do that many, and you're not doing, like, the modified knees on the floor ones.
No, I'm doing
I couldn't say one. Girl push-ups, because nowadays you might get in trouble. They used to be called girl push-ups.
They did, yeah. They did used to be called girl push-ups. But guess what? I'm a girl, and I do the real push-ups.
All right, so I have an announcement.
What?
Wife of Crime has two animals named after it.
We've gotten messages.
There's a dog, a pug. His name is Russell.
Yes, and they named Russell after the Russell.
After me.
Yeah.
So he's AKA Little Mold. And then there's another one, an old English bulldog named Biggie after our Biggie.
Yes.
So that's pretty dope. That's probably the biggest honor I have since we've been doing this podcast.
Yes, of course. We are so honored, guys, that you would name your pets after us. Well, not after me, but after Wife of Crime, after you and Biggie.
Now we need a Jess the Hater dog.
Jess the Hater dog.
Yeah, it has to be like a little yappy Pomeranian, like our neighbor.
Whatever. I can be a little bossy sometimes, so.
A little.
If there's a little Pomeranian out there, maybe you can consider naming her Jess.
You're a little bossy, hashtag send help.
Well, I do have to say that I do have a Jess messed up. I haven't done one of these in a really long time. I was going on a really long streak of no mess ups, but last episode, the murder of Lindy Sue Beekler, I did have a mess up. And, you know, it just shows that I need to use more than one source. For that episode, I used multiple sources. But when it came to David Asshole Sinopoli, that's what I've chosen to name him, I got a lot of my information about him specifically from one source. And it turns out...
That source sucked?
Yeah. I should have vetted it.
Damn, what's that source? Let's put him on blast.
No, I'm not going to say the article, but... Because I don't know if it's even up anymore. However, I found out that David was not a tech CEO, actually.
What, do you work at a hot dog stand?
No, he worked for a printing factory in Lancaster.
So he didn't have a lot of money?
No, he didn't have a lot of
just
money.
A regular schlub like me.
He was a regular working schlub like you. He worked for a printing company, and he worked there until he retired in 2017. So he was not a rich guy. And I got kind of annoyed when I saw that because I hate being wrong. And it pissed me off.
Yeah, because you're wrong. You're right even when you're wrong.
Well, I mean, we both are like that. So just know I acknowledge my mess up. Another thing I want to say is I did a whole TikTok series on this case. I think I did like 3 videos on it on TikTok.
You did?
Yeah, on this case. And... there are a few people in the comments that said, it's Lancaster.
Who cares?
I said, when you read Lancaster, anybody who is not from Pennsylvania reads the word L-A-N-C-A-S-T-E-R, anyone else would pronounce it as Lancaster. So all you people from Lancaster, we didn't know you're supposed to pronounce it like that. You know, so get off my TikTok with that bullcrap.
I would have said, oh, I think when you're spelling Lancaster, it's missing the D. And they would have been like, it's missing the D. I'm like, D's nuts. They would have been tight.
I could have done the D's nuts.
Like, what a gaudy.
That would have been really funny. So anyway, just acknowledging my mess up. And it won't happen again for a long time, guys, because I hate messing up. I'm a perfectionist. So, and just know if I ever do, you'll hear it from me first.
All right, so every week I do review of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You throw that on Apple, and I'll read it when Spotify and all them catch up. Then I'll probably read some off of there.
Mm-hmm.
On Spotify, you can do 5 stars though. It won't allow you to do 4 if you push like 4 or less. You lose service on your phone. So this week's review of the week is from KellyGus70. It's 5 stars. I like mold. That is all. So, short, sweet, funny.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Just like me.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So, we also have the Patreon where we have that ass ton of episodes.
People messaged us that when you said ass ton of episodes, they were laughing last week.
Back that ass up.
Yep, we have a bunch of episodes over there, and this month we are covering the documentary Killer Sally. So that's a documentary on Netflix. You know, every year, if you guys haven't noticed, I do a Valentine's theme of a toxic relationship. So it's going to go perfect with our Valentine's theme, and we're going to cover that hopefully in the next week or so. So if you're interested in true crime and chill episodes where we watch a documentary together and then talk about it, usually we get off topic because we're both drunk. Head over there. Or you can sign up on Apple. But if you want a shout out, head to Patreon.
So I shout you guys out every week for joining. And this week's Patreons are Yesenia, Shannon, Michelle, Kristen, Jessica, Melissa, Katie, Hilla or Hyla, Pamela, Billy Joe, Jaylene, Marie Lisa, Juan, Cindy, Heidi, Aisha, Catherine, Jill, Sydney, Taylor, PundiMC. Well, that peaked the mic.
I love that.
Because no one loves a pun more than you.
BFF.
And Rebecca, the Westies Heart Russ. So shout out to the Westies. Jamie and Aaliyah. So shout out to all of you, really. I really appreciate you all.
Yes, we love you guys.
And cheers.
Cheers to you guys. Thank you so much for joining. Okay. So, when it comes to viral videos, I'd go as far as to say that you, Russell, are a viral video connoisseur.
Yo, that is so true. I know viral videos the way an autistic person knows dinosaurs and wrestling.
Yeah.
Don't roast me, guys. Every autistic person I know knows a shit ton about dinosaurs and wrestling.
Or they have like one specific thing that they know everything about. Like the kid from Atypical, yeah. He was obsessed with penguins.
Yeah.
That is you with viral videos.
Well, I watched that show. What is it? Love is something? With the autistic people
falling in love. Oh, Love on the Spectrum.
Love on the Spectrum. And I watched that. What I realized from watching that is I might be autistic because I feel and do the same shits they do. I think I just might be better at disguising it.
Well, you literally know every viral video that has ever been made in the history of viral videos.
Yo, shout out to the original OG viral videos.
Mm-hmm.
That's how YouTube started. It was like bum fights.
Yes, it was.
Way back to bum fights and Kimbo Slice fights.
Yes, and then...
R.I.P. Kimbo Slice.
And then it went to Vine. Vine became...
Vine was corny because it wasn't like really viral. It was more like... It was like early TikTok, like...
Yeah.
People like doing skits and shit. To me, viral videos are things that happen out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that I enjoy more. Uh-huh. They aren't scripted.
Yeah. Well, I think I could quote any viral video and you'll be able to tell me where it was from. I really think I could do that.
Probably. Well, I don't know if I could tell you where it's from, but I could tell you like, oh, I saw that.
Yeah, definitely. What is your favorite or a few of your favorite viral videos or people?
Dang, you put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot.
How about, there's some classics. How about Grandpa apparently always plays the Powerball. Yeah. And I'm a kid and I've never been on live news before.
Yeah. The apparently kid.
Like, there's definitely some I'm going to miss. I like the little girl, my spirit animal, the one that when the dad's asking her if she wants help with something,
yeah,
and she's like, worry about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that girl.
Yeah. And then
obviously
I was a big fan of Rufus the Stunt Bum.
Okay.
You know, and
Sweet Brown. Oh, ain't nobody got time for that.
Sweet Brown, nobody got time for that.
Yep.
And there's more. I like the one where the black dude is talking like, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to... So, and a bug flies in his mouth, and he goes, and then all of a sudden he changes. He's like, I hate this motherfucking place. This stupid ass shit. I can't stand it. Because a bug like flew in his mouth.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
That one is so funny. I really like the little girl who talks about getting hit on the head, and her mom goes, she's a little Irish girl.
Oh, fucking Chucky.
Yeah, her mom goes, who hit your head? And she goes, Chucky, fucking Chucky.
Yeah, that was good too. I saw a good one recently of two little kids. They looked like they were twins. One took the toy. The other little kid, they could barely walk. And he punched other kid in the head.
Oh.
But the kid that punched him hurt his hand punching him, so he started crying. Little shit. Karma's worked fast.
Well, that's hilarious. So, you know me. Like, whenever Russ shows me a viral video, he'll show me the video, and then I'll go, I want the whole backstory.
Oh, like... two girls fighting in a parking lot, a weave on the floor, and a titty out. And Jess is like, why are they fighting? I'm like, I don't know, but the weave is on fire. That's the funny part.
Well, in true classic form, you know, I decided that I would look up the history of a viral sensation. Because this month, Netflix released a documentary about a man who went viral. And it's one of your favorite viral videos. And we've gotten tons of messages of people who said that we should cover this case because they know already, because we've mentioned before, that you love viral videos.
So, I literally barely watch TV. I watch sports, play video games, and viral videos.
Yeah.
I don't really watch shows. And people are like, what do you watch?
You're like, World Star?
World Star Hip Hop, YouTube, bum fights. Well, Bum Fights is old, but my brother actually bought me the DVD Bum Fights.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's taking it back.
I got that. If I could find Rufus, I could get him to pee on it or something.
Caleb McGillivary, a.k.a. Kai, the hatchet-yielding hitchhiker.
Smash, smash, smash.
So that's the documentary that came out. It was about Kai, the hatchet-yielding hitchhiker. But it turns out, however...
A.k.a. Big Smash.
A.k.a. Big Smash.
I made that up.
It turns out, however, Netflix left a few things out. Surprise, surprise. So the narrative of this documentary was about how a homeless drifter saved a woman's life, became an overnight sensation, was named a hero, but then quickly fell from grace. See, just a few months after his internet fame, Kai murdered a man.
Oh, did.
And has been in prison ever since. The documentary talks about Kai's crime, but honestly just grazes the surface of what was actually going on there. So I'm going to tell you the full story of Caleb McGillivary, a.k.a. Kai the Hatchet-Yielding Hitchhiker.
A.k.a. Big Smash.
A.k.a. Big Smash, and see what you think. Are you ready?
Yeah. See, I knew that he's capable of murder because he's walking around with a hatchet and immediately was able to smash, smash, smash. Forgive me if I say this a few more times. Every time I do it, if you have a drink, take a sip.
Drinking game.
Yeah. But he obviously is able to kill someone. He just took a hatchet and banged another dude in the head, even though he was saving someone. Mm-hmm. But not everyone can do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you the whole story about Kai. Everything that happened, all the details that the documentary left out, and I want to see what you think at the end, okay?
All right, I didn't watch the documentary, by the way.
Yeah, you did not. So on February 1st, 2013, a reporter named Jessup Reisbeck was called and asked to fill in for another reporter who had called out of work sick that day. So Jessup was actually a sports reporter for a local Fresno Fox station. And it was his first day covering news stories. He'd only covered sports up until this point. But he had no idea that this day would turn into a total frenzy and it would change his life forever.
And he would never get a story bigger than this.
So that afternoon, Jessup shows up to the scene of a crazy car accident. And he starts asking bystanders a ton of questions. They told him that a man was claiming to be Jesus Christ, was screaming racist remarks, and ran into a black pedestrian and pinned him between two cars.
Oh, shit.
He then proceeded to jump out and go after a woman who was trying to help, putting her in a bear hug and tried to choke her. She tells Jessup that she was saved when a homeless man started hitting the guy in the head with a hatchet. The kid looked to be in his 20s. He had long hair, a bandana, and a backpack. Jessup, the reporter, walked up to the kid and asked if he would answer a few questions.
And looked like he smelled.
Well, this is what the young man had to say.
I'm one of the heroes.
Yeah. Can we talk to you? Do you mind?
What do you want to talk about?
What happened today?
Well, went straight out of Dogtown. Skateboarding, surfing it up. Before I say anything else, I want to say no matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable. And it doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything, you're worthwhile. No one could ever take that away from you. Now, this stuff right here, I was driving and I was in the passenger side of this fucker's car, and he comes over on there. He was over by the recycling center. He says, oh, when I was in the Virgin Islands, 30 years old on a business trip, I fucked this 14-year-old. I was like, you what? He's like, I raped this 14-year-old, starts crying, gives me a big hug. He's just like, fuck, 300-pound guy. I'm like, oh, shit. He must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about? I didn't take him seriously at first. Comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ, and I can do anything I fucking want to. And watch this. Bam! And he smashed into this fucking guy right there, pinned him in between that fucking truck. And so I hop out. I look over, the guy's pinned there. I mean, like, freight train riders know this. Like, if you get pinned between something, do not fucking move that shit, otherwise you bleed out. Like, motherfucking, I ran in, I grabbed the keys. He's fucking sitting there like nothing even happened. And like, fucking, like, man, if you started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here. Fucking, I hop on out. And so I grab the bag, I threw it over by that pole right there. And then fucking buddy gets out and these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like, a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I fucking ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash. Yeah.
The lady said you saved her life.
She was the one who got grabbed by that fucker. You know what? Fuck is cool. That guy ain't. Shit.
How'd you get in his car? How did you?
I was hitchhiking. Good thing I was hitchhiking. Yeah, people say don't hitchhike. Well, this is what happens. At least I was here.
So he did this on purpose.
Dude, that guy was fucking cooked out, man. Like, he's beyond howling. Like, I don't even see any breath in him. You know what I'm saying?
Can I get your name and where you're from, if you don't mind?
I'm Kai.
Kai? Can I get spelling for you?
Straight out of Dogtown. K-A-I.
K-A-I. Do you have a last name?
No, bro. I don't have anything.
Where are you from originally? Are you from Fresno area?
Sophia, West Virginia.
No kidding. How old are you?
I can't call it.
Okay. Hashtag I can't call it.
I can't call it.
Well, I almost had a moment where I was like, I'm in a simulation.
Why?
I thought he had an AirPod in his ear. And I was like, AirPods were not out back then. Was he a time traveler?
No.
My mind just went, but it was a cigarette.
It was a cigarette, yeah.
Holy shit. I was like, Kai the Smash time traveler.
So after this interview aired and was uploaded to YouTube, it completely exploded. Kai's interview gained millions of views in a matter of days.
He ain't make no money.
No, he didn't. There were a bunch of remixes made, songs made with the smash, smash, smash.
It was a smash hit.
Many people wanted to interview him, and they called him the homeless hero. He ended up being a guest on the late night show with Jimmy Kimmel.
Did they make him clean, at least? Or did he go on there?
No, he looked cleaner on there. There were a few follow-up interviews with him. Hollywood producers started coming out of the woodwork looking to monopolize on Kai's viral fame. Jessup, the guy, the original interviewer, the original reporter, he was the only person who had contact with Kai. He was the only one who had his email address. So everyone kept coming to Jessup trying to get in touch with Kai. He received
$100 a message. Every time I sent an email, I need $100.
Well, he received tons of messages because he was essentially the gatekeeper. So he reached out to Kai and asked him if he'd be willing to speak to any of these producers. They offered him a reality show.
Kai?
And he denied it. He didn't want it. Yes, Kai. He didn't want all of this fame.
I wouldn't either, but I want food.
Well,
and maybe they should have offered him like a skateboard.
Well, Jessup, you know, he actually formed a decent kind of friendship with Kai. They stayed in touch, and he ended up doing a follow-up interview with him a little while later. They spent a few hours with him, and he told Kai at that time, everyone wants a piece of you. Like, everyone wants you. You could be a millionaire literally tomorrow. Everyone wants a deal with you. But the whole time they're talking, Kai was incredibly distracted. He was acting very unpredictable. And it became clear that Kai definitely had some type of mental health struggle.
Of course, because if you're homeless, you know, there are people that like were out on their luck and stuff. But mm-hmm. I feel like people that are out on their luck eventually get back.
Yeah.
But if you're like homeless by choice,
mm-hmm. there's something going on.
There's something, but respect to you. You don't got to go to work. Like, if I could be homeless in a warm place with a tent and, like, a mountain bike and somewhere to shower, I'll just, like, ride my bike and sleep in my tent.
Well, the thing
and
is...
And food. I need food.
The thing is, too, though...
And Wi-Fi.
Yes, he might have had some mental health struggles. But just because someone struggles with mental illness and chooses to be homeless doesn't mean that they're bad people or a murderer or a terrible human being.
I don't know.
And... you know, that's something that'll play later on when I tell you the rest of the story. So Jessup spends a few hours with him. They do multiple interviews and he tells Kai about this opportunity for a reality show and all this stuff. And Kai just says, I want to go back to the Bay Area and smoke some weed.
And skate, probably, you know, straight out of Dogtown. Dogtown's where they all skate.
Yep. So that's what he did. So there were many things that ended up getting cut out of these follow-up interviews that Kai did. And these things revealed the truth about Kai's upbringing, where he came from, what actually led to his lifestyle of being this young drifter. Kai McGillivray was born September 3rd, 1988. He was actually raised in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, not West Virginia, like he says in his original interview. When he was 4 years old, his parents got divorced, and he remained living with his mother. When Kai was young, he wrote an essay in school claiming that his mother kept him locked in a room for hours and hours with blankets over the windows. He also claimed that he was not allowed to go outside at all or interact with any other children. He says this again in follow-up interviews with Jessup, the reporter.
And now since he couldn't go outside, he stays outside.
Yeah. So Kai's mom was in the documentary and she spoke out against this and claimed that this was all untrue, that she did put a lock on his door, but it was for his own protection because he liked, as a young kid, he liked to come out of the room and just wander off.
Wait, wander out the house or just wander around the house?
No, wander off out of the house. But his cousin, who's also in the documentary, claims that what Kai said is 100% true.
I believe the kid.
And that she locked him in a room, covered the windows with blankets, and that Kai was not allowed to play with any other children. When Kai was 11 years old, he tried to start a fire in his house, and social services ended up taking him out of the home and placing him in foster care.
Oof.
He bounced around the system before ending up in a group home ran by the Bosco Foundation. And according to the Bosco Foundation's website, they provide rental facilities to select organizations and agencies concerned with the welfare of vulnerable children, youth, and adults, which ultimately leads me to believe that the mom's explanation of events in that home, you know, I kind of believe it less and less.
I 100% believe Kai and his cousin.
Yeah, his cousin confirmed it.
Is his cousin homeless?
No, his cousin is living in Canada and he spoke very lovingly about Kai.
Did he say A?
No.
I don't like when I talk to Canadians and they don't say A. It's very disappointing.
Kai's father fought for custody of Kai, but he wasn't able to get it. I don't know all the details surrounding this, but I read a few statements online where his father explicitly states that he feared for his son's safety, not only in his mother's home, but also while he was in the foster system. When Kai was 13 years old, he left one of the Bosco homes claiming he was being sexually abused. After this, he spent the next few years living with a foster family that he speaks very positively about. He says that they treated him really well in their home. And then Kai went on to finish and graduate from high school. He attended college and he even took flying lessons because he wanted to be a pilot. So his father is Native American, and Kai is actually a member of the First Nations Indigenous people. And after high school, he dived into his Native American culture. And for some time, as a young adult, he frequently visited reservations, hung out on them, made a lot of friends on these reservations, and really just tried to get in touch with his Native American culture.
The Native American culture seems so cool, like how they respect the earth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Yeah, very peaceful.
But I'm also I don't know a lot about it, but what I do know is, like, you know, it almost seems like Mother Nature and, like, respect the earth and stuff like that. And So I like that.
Yeah, definitely. So this led Kai to then start traveling up and down the West Coast, hitchhiking from place to place and surfing. He loved to surf and skate.
How do you hitchhike with a surfboard?
Yeah, so I don't think he would hitchhike with a surfboard, but he would
steal one.
Get surfboards. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would steal them. I don't know what he would do. He never referred to himself as homeless, but instead called himself home free.
I like that, though, because if you don't want a home, like, I envy people that are happy with less, mm-hmm. like just the basics and not in this materialistic culture. And I'm guilty of it. Like, mm-hmm. I like cool shit.
Yeah.
But I envy these people.
Definitely. Well, Kai, if you think about it, as a young child, he was locked up in a room for hours and hours on end. And now as an adult, he didn't want to feel locked down. And I think that that definitely contributed to his lifestyle for sure. While on the road, Kai was raped by a man.
What?
He says he managed to escape and run from the man during the rape. But when Kai talks about this during one of the interviews with Jessup in the follow-up interview they did, he gets very serious, and it's obvious that he was completely traumatized by this event.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So in 2013, while hitchhiking, Kai would get into the car of a man named Jet Simmons McBride.
This is the fat dude?
Yeah, this is the dude.
300-pound big smash, fat smash?
Yes. While riding in the passenger seat, McBride would tell Kai that he had raped a 14-year-old girl while on a business trip, and then he started saying he's Jesus Christ and he can do anything he wants. The man started driving erratically and slammed into a car and pinned a utility worker named Rayshon Neely between the cars.
Did Rayshon make it?
Yes, Rayshon lived, but he was wheelchair bound for years after this.
Wow.
McBride then jumped out of the car and began screaming racist slurs and then grabs a woman that ran over to help Rayshon. Then that's when Kai smashed McBride in the head.
Shout out to Jess.
McBride and Rayshon Neely both survived. McBride survived as well. Rayshon and Kai appeared in court to testify against McBride, but he ended up being convicted of attempted murder by reason of insanity and was sentenced to only 9 years in a psychiatric facility for the criminally insane.
He's obviously going to kill again.
Kai, though, didn't get charged with anything. And this is when his viral stardom was at an all-time high.
He was a hero.
Yeah, he was a hero. And that's when he became known as the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker. So just a few months later, in May of 2013, so it's the same year, only a few months after this happened, Kai hitchhiked all the way from California to what we lovingly refer to as New York Shitty.
I may have said it like once, but I don't refer to New York City as New York Shitty. Put some respect on it.
All right, but you've referred to it.
I hate the traffic. I hate the ticket people. I hate all the motherfucking cameras that catch you for going 35 miles an hour and send you $50 tickets. Jess, who gets one once a month, slow down. Hashtag slow down, Jess. You're killing them.
Okay, well, you've said it before.
Maybe once.
Kai was sleeping in Port Authority at night and roaming the city during the day. On Saturday, May 11th, Kai was approached by a man named Joseph Galfi. Joseph was a 73-year-old lawyer from New Jersey. The two of them struck up a conversation, and Kai told Joseph that he was going to be heading over to Newark, New Jersey in the morning. Well, Joseph Galfi said, "Hey, I live in New Jersey. I'll give you a ride, and if you need a place to stay, you can crash at my place for the night." At this time, Kai was a viral sensation, and he actually stayed at many people's houses while hitchhiking from California to New York. Like, people wanted to take pictures with him. People went out to eat with him. Like, he had a lot of fans all over the country.
People are weird, man.
Yeah, so Kai.
I'm not letting Rufus the Stunt Bum or... And I'm not letting...
Any viral person stay in
your house. Letting the kid who says, "I like turtles," hang in my house. I'm not, like, none of you. Stay where you're at. Where you belong is on the internet.
Well, Kai had a lot of fans, and this to him was just another person offering up their home, and it wasn't out of the ordinary. So he said, sure. Kai says he went back to Joseph's house, and they ordered Italian food and then had a few beers.
I bet you Kai didn't pay.
No, he probably didn't. And then Kai says that Joseph insisted on putting the beer into a glass instead of letting Kai drink out of the bottle. Kai says after he had a couple beers, he became incredibly tired and then went to bed in the guest bedroom.
That happens to me every time when I have a couple beers.
Kai then says he woke up the next morning, and when he looked in the mirror, he saw crusty white stuff on the side of his mouth.
No way.
He assumed that it was just drool, so he wiped it off. And then Joseph drove him to the train station to catch a train to Asbury Park. So in the documentary, they show footage of Kai giving Joseph a hug. And Kai says that Joseph told him, if you need another place to stay, don't hesitate to call me back. And Kai was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go meet up with this fan in Asbury Park. And he left. The girl he planned to meet up with didn't end up answering her phone. So he called Joseph back later in the evening and asked if he could stay another night at his house.
Damn, he was going to Asbury Park. You know what he was going there for? He was meeting a girl. He was trying to smash.
So Joseph Galfie said yes and picked Kai up at the train station. The two of them went back to Joseph's house, and Kai says that they had burgers and a few beers again. But Kai started feeling immediately very tired and groggy. The next thing he knew, he woke up in Joseph Galfie's bed with the man on top of him, sexually assaulting him. Kai states he began fighting fiercely, kicking and punching Joseph Galfie. He then grabbed his things.
Hashtag get the axe.
Well, he got up, he grabbed his things, and he ran out of Galfie's house. Kai says after he left the house, he went to a diner, and while he was there, he realized the morning before that the drool that he wiped off of his mouth was not drool.
Ugh, I'm going to throw up.
Kai then left town, and he went to Philly. 2 days after he beat up Joseph Galfie, he posted this on his Facebook page. This is the post that he made 2 days later.
I'd kill that motherfucker.
What would you do if you woke up with a groggy head, metallic taste in your mouth in a stranger's house, walked up to the mirror and seeing cum dripping from your mouth, started retching, realizing that someone had drugged, raped, and blowed their fucking load in you? What would you do? Joseph Galfie would be found dead the following morning after his coworkers called friends of his asking them to do a welfare check when he didn't make it to work.
I would do the same damn thing. It's over, son.
Cops went through Joseph Galfie's phone and saw texts between him and Kai. Cops tracked Kai down and arrested him in a Philadelphia bus station. His hair had been cut, and cops claimed he was trying to change the way he looked. However, Kai claims he wasn't running from anyone. He wasn't hiding. He was still posting on Facebook pictures of himself with a fan that he met up with. And he claims he had no idea that Joseph Galfie was actually dead. He thought he just beat him up when he woke up and the guy was on top of him.
Oh, shit.
Kai told cops in the interrogation that he was sexually assaulted. He told them about the suspected semen on his face. He told cops that he woke up with Galfie on top of him in only his underwear. And since he was assaulting him, he beat him up. He claimed it was all in self-defense. But despite this information, no one took him to have a rape kit performed, which would have included a tox screening. So rape kits, if you feel like you might have been drugged, rape kits include a tox screening. We'll draw your blood and they'll send it off.
Yeah, because he's been gone a while. So
no, it's been a day and a half. The only tox screen performed was on Joseph during the autopsy. When Joseph Galfie's body was found, it was quite brutal, and his manner of death was blunt force trauma to the head. One of his ears was ripped off, and he had multiple fractures. He was found in his underwear, and there was blood and semen on his penis, but it was never swabbed. The evidence was never collected or tested. It was just documented in the autopsy report. Something else important that the Netflix documentary conveniently left out is that Joseph Galfie was a very well-known and well-connected part of his community. He was a lawyer, and he was very good friends with the former mayor,
Which one?
The mayor of the town.
Oh, I was thinking of New York. He was in Jersey.
Yeah. Joseph Galfie's brother was also the former chief of police.
Oh, there you go. He gets away whatever he wants.
Kai would spend the next 6 years sitting in county jail awaiting trial.
I thought there's a certain amount of time you have to have a trial. Because aren't we, according to law, like, we have the right to a speedy trial? Like, isn't that, like, a thing?
Well, he spent 6 years waiting for his trial. 4.5 of those years were in solitary confinement.
Why?
On a suicide watch. Kai claims that the COs were brutal to him, would constantly taunt him. They said since he killed a cop's brother, they were going to make his life a living hell in jail. Kai claims that they would stand outside of his cell for hours and just keep telling him to kill himself. And eventually, after a few years of this, Kai attempted suicide one time, but he didn't die from his injuries. He tried to cut his carotid artery. After this attempt, he eventually made it out of solitary and into Gen Pop, where he spent every day in the law library studying. During this time, he petitioned the court asking if he could fire his lawyer and represent himself because Kai states he didn't trust the lawyers and he believed that they all knew and were friends with Joseph Galfie. But Judge Kirsch denied this motion. Kai states that he heard the prosecutor refer to Joseph Galfie as Joe on multiple occasions, which made him believe that they knew each other personally. And that they may have even been friends. His defense team did, however, raise a few good questions at the trial. These are the questions that they did raise during, you know, during their closing arguments and stuff to try to get the jury to understand that there was misconduct here.
Yeah.
The first question they said is, why weren't the glasses at Galvey's house examined for drug residue?
Facts.
The second question was, how is it possible that a case about sexual assault has no rape kit performed?
Facts twice.
And the third question they raised is, why weren't the swabs taken off of Joseph Galvey's body where he had semen and blood on his penis? Why were they never tested for DNA? On May 30th, 2019, 6 years after Kai was arrested, he was sentenced to 57 years in prison for the murder of Joseph Galfie.
Well, you're not allowed to kill someone that rapes you?
Well, let's talk about it. Because the way the prosecutor...
So who are you allowed to kill?
So the prosecutor made it seem like he wasn't actually sexually assaulted. That he planned to murder Joseph Galfie. The prosecutor claims that because of his past of being sexually assaulted as a child and being raped as a young adult, that he had it out for sexual predators and pedophiles.
He should.
And that
everyone should have it out for sexual predators and
pedophiles?
Pedophiles.
Well, the prosecutor spun this and manipulated it and made it seem like since he had it out for these people that he thought Joseph Galfie was a predator and he decided to kill him as like a form of vigilante justice. There's a ton of conflicts of interest in this case, and the documentary doesn't talk about any of this, so I'm going to bring it up so everyone's aware. Joseph Galfie was friends with the previous mayor, like I said. His brother was a former chief of police. The first judge that was assigned to Kai's trial had to step down after someone else outed the fact that this judge and Joseph Galfie were really good friends. Judge Kirsch was then assigned to the case or for the trial, but it's rumored that he was also an old friend. Another crazy detail about this case that Netflix didn't talk about was that the dishwasher in Galfie's house was ran between May 13th and May 15th, which was after the house was labeled a crime scene. Who washed the dishes? James Galfie, who was Joseph Galfie's brother, the former chief of police, was allowed in the house following his brother's death. Did he wash the dishes?
Why would anyone wash dishes? Everyone hates doing dishes.
Because there's a theory that his brother
cleaned up the crib.
that maybe his brother Joseph was involved in something.
Oh, because the cups. He tried to clean the cups.
Exactly.
Damn, I was slow on that one.
Get this. So the doctor who was called as an expert witness in Kai's trial, he was called by the prosecution to be an expert witness. He claimed he didn't know Joseph Galfie at all.
Liar.
Well, it turns out in a document from the prosecutor's office, it states that old Robert Padina, who is the doctor, received, quote, charitable funds from the estate of Joseph Galfie. But he says he didn't know him at all.
Paying him off.
One source I read states they performed the rape kit and the tox screen on Galfie only so that the prosecutors could tell the jury at the trial a rape kit was performed and a tox screen came back inconclusive, but to not have to disclose that it was only performed on one person and not Kai. I don't know if this is true, if they can actually do this, like if prosecutors can actually manipulate this. Like I said, I read that in one source. So if any lawyers are listening, let me know if that can actually happen. If they can just like blanket statement say, oh, the tox screen was inconclusive, a rape kit was performed, but not specify who it was performed on.
You can hit up Margo.
Oh, yeah. I could ask Margo. I should.
Margo's from Military Murder. Check out her podcast. Dope.
So Kai now sits in prison in New Jersey, still fighting and claiming his innocence. He appealed his conviction, and he now is a jailhouse lawyer. He, like other inmates, come to him for law advice because he spends all his time in the law library, and he has read tons of books on law and has become completely obsessed. He appealed his conviction, but his appeal was denied.
I don't know. If this dude raped him, hashtag free Kai. Mm-hmm. But if he did not, then he's a murderer.
Well, I guess...
I'm leaning towards... It seems like it. It seems like there's a big cover-up going on.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards that it actually happened as well. You know, he actually has a YouTube channel, Kai.
Is he smashing?
No, he's talking... So someone is running it for him, obviously, but it's recordings of him calling this person in jail and, you know, talking about his case. And to be honest with you, when you watch his videos, he sounds very articulate and he brings up these laws, like he quotes them, like really, like in statute number 673 of New Jersey law, it states blah, blah, blah. Like he goes in when it comes to backing up everything he says with the law. And it's just really interesting. So he has this YouTube channel. It's called Kai the Hitchhiker for Real. And that's his YouTube channel. And you can watch videos of him talking about his case, talking about his appeal, and talking about all the conflict of interest in his case and how he feels like he was his trial was railroaded and he's an innocent man in jail who's a victim of sexual assault. Another thing that's very interesting about this is Theo Von, the comedian.
Oh, my guy.
Yeah, we love Theo Von. Well, Theo Von right now is currently being sued by Kai because someone put Theo Von's face on Kai and it turned into a viral video of Theo Von's face
on
Kai.
You can't get this by me. I already knew
this. You already knew.
Well, I already knew this. Well, I am viral. Hashtag viral Russ.
Well, Kai is suing Theo Von.
But he didn't put his face on it.
Yeah, but he uploaded all the videos to his socials and everything. So he just wants all the videos taken down of Theo Von's face on him. So
no.
I don't know how Theo Von talked about it on his podcast.
He didn't even make it. Get out of here, you dummy. I would roast him.
Well, Theo Von talked about it, and he was actually pretty nice about it when he talked about it. And he was like, yeah, we'll take it down. Like, he goes, honestly, this document looks really legit. I got to talk to my lawyer about it. And then he was like, I have a lawyer at Morgan & Morgan or something like that. And he's going to have him review it.
You know, you just got to call Salino and Barnes.
Yes.
Yeah, injury attorneys. 1-888-888. Is it 8?
I don't know.
Damn, if I forgot the number.
So.
But don't call Salino and Barnes. They're injury attorneys.
Yeah.
For a slip and fall, maybe. Why are we doing a commercial for Salino and Barnes?
So,
But they broke up. Did you know that?
No, I don't care about that.
No, they're a New York staple.
Okay.
They broke up. So I don't know if it's Barnes or Celino. 8888.
Okay.
8.
Well, you're doing a great job. So
call them up. Tell them the profiler sent you.
So what do you think? What do you think about this whole entire thing? About his life? I just find this fascinating, to be honest with you. I really do. And I felt like the documentary, I was kind of pissed when I looked through everything else. You know, all these people said, cover the documentary for True Crime and Chill, cover it. But, you know, I'm kind of glad that I decided to do it for a regular episode, because in True Crime and Chill, we watch it and then we talk about what we watched, but we wouldn't have had all these other details. And I think it's really unfortunate that Netflix didn't talk about all these other parts of this.
So all these relationships that they possibly had weren't in the Netflix documentary?
Yeah, like all the conflict of interest in his case wasn't in the documentary at all.
Wow.
So the documentary ends with you thinking, yeah, he might have been sexually assaulted, but he murdered this guy. And it kind of sways you into that direction instead of talking about all the misconduct that went on. And to be honest with you, they do a ton of interviews with the Hollywood people who tried to monopolize on his fame. And it really, to me, it looked like it was this money grab. These Hollywood people just trying to exploit this person and have a money grab out of him. And he didn't want that life. That's not what he wanted. He had some mental health issues going on. And I think it's easy when you watch him, you watch this documentary, they talk a lot about his mental health. And, you know, he was a bit manic. So, like, he possibly could have a few diagnoses, but they don't talk about his actual diagnoses. But you get this kind of vibe that they're alluding to the fact that, you know, he's just mentally unstable and he definitely could have just killed this person because he's mentally unstable.
But that's a possibility. I'm not ruling that out.
No, but that's the way the documentary sways. And it's kind of the narrative that they push. And I wish they would have been a bit more, you know, like, truthful about all the aspects of it.
He's very capable of killing, though. Because if you could just smash someone in the head with an axe,
No, he didn't hit him with the axe at first. He hit him with the back end of it. And then the last smash was with the axe part.
The back end of the axe?
Yeah.
So that doesn't make a difference, because I was listening to something recently about a serial killer. I forgot where it was. It was on some podcast or something. And people that kill use the back end of an axe, because if you use the sharp end, it gets stuck.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a really weird fact, but
yeah.
So professionals use the back end of an axe.
Well, he used the back end twice and then used the actual axe part the third time. But
he's not very strong, because he didn't even kill the guy and he hit him in the head with an axe.
Well, I mean, the point is, this story is incredibly fascinating. Like, seeing someone have this horrible childhood. I mean, his childhood was horrible. And then grow up and then become this viral sensation and then end up in this horrible circumstance. And I can't say 100% that his, you know, way that he describes these events is 100% fact.
Definitely not.
But you don't think so?
No.
But I sway that way. I really do. I really am starting to believe that this man was a predator. Brought him back to his house. He drugged him the first night. He got away with it. And he said, hey, come back anytime. And then the second time he wakes up and he's being assaulted. So what does he do? He starts kicking the dude in the face, kicking him in the ribs. He was 73 years old. I'm sure it didn't take much to, like, beat this guy up.
Most likely, I feel that the story seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a chance it's not. And there's a chance that, like, Kai is... may, like, manipulate the truth a little to make himself feel better.
Hmm.
I mean, make it seem better.
But, you know, in the end of the day, he still waited 6 years to even have a trial. And then, And then on top of that, all that conflict of interest, like it should have at least been a mistrial because of all the conflict of interest.
If though all those facts are true, it should have.
Yeah.
But I would have killed him.
Yeah.
If anyone's jizz touches any part of my body, that's instant death for them.
Yeah.
Like, don't get that out of here. Even touches my pinky.
Instant death.
Yeah.
Well, that's the case of Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker. That's the true story. So if you want to go watch the documentary, just know, take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot more details about it.
This is like MTV, the true life of the hitchhiking bum.
Yeah. Don't call him a bum.
He was a bum.
No, that's mean.
All right, well.
He seemed like actually a pretty articulate kid. He just had a lot of, I don't know, he was unpredictable.
But no, he seemed like a good dude.
He had severe ADHD for sure, because he couldn't even, like, even in just his interviews, he was bouncing from subject to subject, and he definitely seemed a bit manic. Like, there was stuff going on there, but he seemed like a good guy. And even the reporter who first met him and remained friends with him, he's still friends with him now. He talks to him while he's in jail all the time.
Damn.
And he got emotional in an interview talking about Kai. Like, he's like, he really is a good dude. Like, he really cares about him.
He believes Kai.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, he believes him. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. So, check us out on Instagram at Wife of Crime Pod.
Buy
merch. Facebook at Wife of Crime, the Crime Family. And Patreon at Wife of Crime Pod. Yes, you can buy merch at our shop at wifeofcrime.com. Have a great week, peeps. See you later.
Mold out.
Bye.